From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Weekend in Review. Some of the stories that made the news from Friday, July the 14th through Sunday, July 16th. I'm Philip Grant. At the top of the news, Bill Williams reported for WCTW-FM, the CAT, that Hudson mayoral candidate Earl Swanigan pled guilty to two misdemeanor charges on Thursday, July the 13th in Hudson City Court. Swanigan, 53, was accused of inappropriately touching a woman and was arrested by Hudson police in June. It was alleged he entered the woman's unlocked home without her permission as he went door-to-door collecting signatures on a nominating petition. Claire Hughes reported in the Times Union that Albany Medical Center and Columbia Memorial Health in Hudson announced last week plans to combine cardiology services. The formal affiliation between the two health systems was approved by the state 18 months ago. The uniting of the cardiology departments is one of several efforts intended to strengthen medical services at Columbia Memorial, said Dr. Stephen Frisch, Albany Med's Senior Executive Vice President. Albany Med has also been sharing physicians or helping the Hudson Hospital recruit doctors in obstetrics and gynecology, neurosurgery, orthopedics, radiology, and other specialty areas. Albany Med helped Columbia Memorial to recruit a new cardiologist last year, bringing the number of heart specialists in Hudson to 6. Ryan Hutchins reported at Politico New York that the work at New York's Penn Station is running slightly ahead of schedule after the project's first week, according to Amtrak. Crews completed the replacement of two switches and prep work on another key component of the infrastructure and have also removed old rail in advance of the replacement of Track 10. Scott Napostek, Amtrak's chief operating officer, said on Friday, July the 14th, and I quote, "We're slightly ahead and we're happy," end quote. The massive undertaking is expected to be completed before Labor Day. Thousands of commuters on New Jersey Transit and Long Island Railroad have seen their trips to Manhattan lengthened by the work. Some have been forced to transfer to ferries or subway service to finish their trips. Rick Collin reported in the Times Union, EasyPass users who travel the Northeast this summer will find a variety of fees depending on which state they are traveling through and where their transponder is registered. A New York traveler taking the Massachusetts Turnpike to Boston, for instance, will pay more on their EasyPass tag than those in the Bay State. Crossing the Rhode Island's Newport Bridge will cost a New Yorker $4, while Rhode Island residents will pay 83 cents on their EasyPass transponders. As it now stands, Maryland, New Jersey, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Maine now charge higher EasyPass rates for out-of-state motorists. In some cases, those rates are as much as 4 times more. This summer, the AAA Northeast Umbrella Group wrote to the U.S. Department of Transportation requesting the DOT to step in and mediate the interstate EasyPass problem, but has received no response. Diane Bowden reported in the Columbia paper that the Columbia Land Conservancy will receive $68,500 in state grant funds for water chestnut control at Menziger Lake and Hand Hollow in New Lebanon, one of the 10 public conservation areas managed by CLC in the county. The award was part of a $1.7 million Environmental Protection Fund grant announced by Governor Andrew M. Cuomo last week. The money was distributed among 35 municipalities, not-for-profits, and institutions statewide to help control, limit, and remove invasive species. Water chestnuts has become a significant environmental nuisance, according to the state. It forms nearly impenetrable floating mats of vegetation, which create hazards for boaters and other people using water bodies for recreation. CLC Executive Director Peter Payden said the plant removal plan will not only improve Metzinger Lake, but will also help Riley Pond at the Allen DeVoe Bird Club Wilson M. Powell Wildlife Sanctuary, Pitt Hall, and Hunt Club roads in Old Chatham. Amanda Purcell reported for the Columbia Green Media, it is looking less likely that the Endless Love Temple will be able to legally redeem the foreclosed Masonic Lodge on Columbia Street in Hudson. The Reverend Ed Cross said, and I quote, "Last week my church deeded a building that had been foreclosed on by the city and we hold the deed now," end quote. However, the building, also known as Mount Carmel Lodge, was officially foreclosed on in April for non-payment of taxes, and the city subsequently took ownership. Cross offered to establish a payment plan with the city to pay back the taxes owed, but it may be too late in the process to do that. The previous owners of the property, the local chapter of the Masonic Lodge, have been unresponsive to notices sent by the city, and the building will be scheduled for auction in approximately 3 months. Common Council President Claudia DeStefano asked Cross to appear before the Finance Committee at its scheduled meeting this week. She said, and I quote, "That will probably be the best opportunity to talk about this," end quote. Finally, Claire Hughes reported in the Times Union that Governor Andrew M. Cuomo is being urged to declare a state of emergency due to the heroin and opioid epidemic statewide. More than 1,600 people have signed Columbia Pathways to Recovery's petition, calling on the governor to recognize the epidemic as a public health emergency. The move comes on the heels of a spike in heroin overdoses in Columbia County during the last weekend in June. The Columbia County Department of Health confirmed at least 13 overdoses and 2 deaths that weekend. Law enforcement officials suspect a mix of heroin and other more potent opioids like fentanyl or carfentanil was circulating. It is unclear what a state emergency declaration would do to address the epidemic, and top lawmakers question the value of the strategy. In its petition, Columbia Pathways calls on the state to make resources available immediately given the magnitude of the problem. A spokesman for the governor said New York does not need to declare a state of emergency to access additional funding. The current budget includes $214 million in appropriations to expand addiction prevention and treatment services. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a chance of showers and thunderstorms mainly after 10 a.m. today. Some of those storms could produce gusty winds and heavy rain. It will be mostly cloudy with a high near 84 degrees. For Monday night, showers and thunderstorms are likely, mainly between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 67. The forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 82 degrees. Tuesday night, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms before 11 p.m. Then a slight chance of showers between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 64. And on Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 88 degrees. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 66. Sunrise today was at 5:32 a.m., and the sun will set at 8:29 p.m. That will give us 14 hours and 56 minutes of daylight, about a minute and a half less than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Weekend in Review for today, Monday, the 17th day of July, 2017. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.